To see today's photo, go to mtforchrist.org or follow me, MT Clark, on Facebook or Twitter. Good morning. Today's photo of an upward-facing view of a palm tree and a magnificent cloud-filled blue sky comes to us from my cousin, Kevin Zemko, who captured this backyard barbecue moment in the San Elijos Hills in San Marcos, California, back on August 9th. Well, it's Saturday, and something about Kevin's photo just says the weekend to me, but a quick check of the calendar shows that our cousin didn't have to wait for the weekend to appreciate the beauty around him, as the 9th was a Wednesday. Let that be a lesson to all of us that we don't have to wait for a particular time, day, or season to appreciate the good things in our life. We don't live in the past, and we don't live in the future. We live right now. And the way we experience peace and joy in life is to stop ourselves right now and remind ourselves that there is much good in our lives happening right now, and to appreciate it and thank God for it. Well, we should have goals and dreams. While we should have good goals and dreams that we are working to accomplish, and we should be doing things to help us grow and to be healthy, we shouldn't be so future-focused and goal-oriented that we forget the many blessings we have in the present moment, and that the process, the fact that we are actively seeking to accomplish something and experience more peace, more joy, and more freedom, in and of itself is a good thing too. I've had a serious wake-up call in regard to my health goal recently that made me realize that even though my goal has an established milestone to meet, I allowed myself to lose focus on what in reality is a definite, concrete goal and ended up turning what is clear into something fuzzy because I set no definite deadline on it when I wished to accomplish it. Or more accurately, didn't set a new deadline on it when I failed to accomplish it. In the late winter months, I made an appointment for a physical in June and had set the goal to be closer to my goal weight of 200 pounds by then. But when I failed to even get to the milestone mark of 215, which I had accomplished a couple of times in my yo-yo existence, I gave myself grace, and instead of going back to the drawing board and pressing in with a renewed commitment and new deadline, I let it slide, and I've just been floundering in compromise by cheating on my quote-unquote food plan. Do you even have a plan when you cheat every weekend? Instead of setting a new deadline and redoubling my efforts, I just let it be and continue to mindlessly eat things I shouldn't and too much in general. I had fallen into a state of self-deception where I told myself I was working on my health goal, but in reality had more or less given up on it because I had allowed myself to do things that would prevent me from accomplishing it. Talk about self-sabotage. After my two-week vacation and a solid week of inactivity, the truth became painfully obvious, and I committed myself again to fight the good fight. Again, with no deadline or noticeable plan to measure my progress. On Wednesday, I mindlessly consumed some sugar-laden snacks as a reward, I guess, after a long day at work and a good night at ministry. But the morning after came with the shame of failure and the realization that I had made some big mistakes in how I had decided to reach my quote-unquote health goal, which was, in fact, part of the larger battle of defeating my food addiction. The health goal language was actually sugarcoating the true issue, food addiction. And because I didn't call it for what it is, I was living in denial, not fighting it the way I should. So I enlisted, more like drafted, a brother in Christ to be my accountability partner, as in, you're it, I need it, we're doing this. As someone who has victory over addictions in other areas, I knew how to overcome, and now I am going back to basics for my food addiction and am learning just how deceived I was in the way I was seeking to accomplish what I wanted to accomplish. Yesterday, I reacquainted myself with the My Fitness Pal app and started tracking my food intake. And after logging everything for the day, I can report that I was successful for the day, but was a big failure in the past. After I documented everything for the day, I realized that I had been assuming that I was, quote-unquote, good when I wasn't. I knew the general guidelines for what I should and shouldn't eat and had made the big assumption that if I stayed within those guidelines, I didn't really have to worry about how much I ate. Wrong. After yesterday's documenting every morsel that went into my system, I realized that I had been eating too much periodically, quite often, even with just the good food. But I had also made matters worse by eating the bad stuff too. The truth of how unaware I was of what I was doing has hit me like a ton of bricks. And I now realize that I really have to be diligent to stay in the present moment and observe and record everything I am doing. My victory over food addiction demands that I pay attention to what I am doing from moment to moment. I need to live in truth by seeing things how they truly are and by being true to the goals I've set. So we set the goal to check in and watch ourselves every day, to report to our accountability partner once a day, to weigh in once a week, and to set the realistic goal of getting to 200 by May 11th of 2024. That's 38 weeks from today. I am hopeful I can get there, with the expectation that 1 pound per week is a balanced and realistic pace to set. Of course, I will try to crush that goal before then, I'm sure, but I at least have put something concrete before me to stand on, be accountable to, and to walk towards. This is a short, long-term goal that will help to keep me focused, to keep my eye on the prize. Being aware of what we are doing, setting goals, and living in truth also applies to our faith life and thought life too, of course. The science of discipleship is to know the truth of God's word, to realize it applies directly to us, and to increasingly live by it to be, quote-unquote, a real Christian, a disciple of Jesus Christ. To reap a harvest of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, we need to plant the seed of the truth of God's word in our hearts and minds, and to set the conditions with how we think and act to allow it to grow and change us from the inside out. We have to know what we believe and know why we believe it. We have to know who we are in Christ and live like it. We have to know the truth experientially and to decide to keep living by it continuously and progressively to allow it to set us free. And thus, we transition to our new series, Statements of Truth, that comes right on the heels of our series on self-deception because it springs from the same resource. Step number 2, Deception versus Truth, of the Steps to Freedom in Christ by Dr. Neil Anderson. Yesterday, we presented the second part of Anderson's concluding instructions from step 2, and because that step deals with deception, the good doctor prescribes a healthy dose of truth for us, now that we have examined, confessed, and renounced all the ways we've been deceived. Anderson introduces the statements of truth by stating, "For 2,000 years, Christians have known the importance of verbally and publicly declaring the truth. Read aloud the following statements of truth and carefully consider what you're professing. You may find it helpful to read them aloud every day for at least 6 weeks, which will help you renew your mind to the truth." And that's what he writes about it. So, for our new series, we will present each of the 11 statements of truth from step 2 of the Steps to Freedom in Christ. We will declare them verbally and publicly because we, like Christians, the Christians who have gone before us over the last 2,000 years, know the importance of doing so. We will share their associated Bible verses and share our thoughts about what each statement of truth is telling us, why they are important, and how they apply to our lives as Christians. So today's statement of truth is number 1. I recognize that there is only one true and living God who exists as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is worthy of all honor, praise, and glory as the one who made all things and holds all things together. And the Bible verses listed with this statement are Exodus 20, verses 2 and 3, which says, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me." And the other Bible verses that are associated with this are Colossians 1, 16 and 17. And the Word of God says, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist." From these verses, we can see that there is one God. We are to have no other gods, small g, before him, and that he is the creator of all things, and he is preeminent over them, and literally holds them together. What is not clear is that Colossians 1 is talking about Jesus. That passage in Colossians presents Jesus as the creator and sustainer of all things, making it clear that he is God. The Trinity is a mystery, of course, but it is a doctrine that presents the truth of ultimate reality. There is one God and three distinct persons, a paradox for sure. But remember, a paradox is something that is seemingly contradictory, but is in fact true. I was going to write more about the Trinity, but I've learned that the more one seeks to explain it, the more you run the risk of falling into theological error. However, I am providing a link to Open Bible Info's 100 Bible verses about the Trinity to show the verses where the Trinitarian nature of God is clearly supported by Scripture. So if you want to see that link, go to the blog. So what does that mean for us? Well, the only God is God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Anything else is not God. So any other religion or philosophy that is lifted up as something to be admired, worshipped, or followed is a false god that seeks to draw us away from the one true God. By presenting an alternative to Christ, they are by definition antichrist and should be avoided and condemned as a clever scheme of the spiritual forces of darkness to lead us astray. Also, any pseudo-Christian faith system that denies the deity of Christ or the Holy Spirit is also antichrist. Judaism, Islam, Jehovah's Witnesses, and Mormons, and many others pay lip service to belief in the God of the Bible, but all deny Jesus as God and the doctrine of the Trinity. Walter Martin's The Kingdom of Cults is perhaps the best, his book, The Kingdom of Cults, is perhaps the best resource for exposing all other faith systems as false. And I highly recommend it to anyone who is interested in knowing the truth about false religions and who have a heart to save those who have been deceived by other religions. But beyond these concerns, this first statement of truth advises us to honor and praise the Lord. What are we supposed to do with this truth? We are to worship the Lord and give him glory for what he has done and by the way we live our lives. What do I do with this truth? We seek the one true God's will for our lives, and we put our faith in Jesus and follow him. Today's Bible verses come to us from the quick scripture reference for counseling by John G. Cruis. And this morning's meditation verses come from the section on affliction, discipline, chastisement, and trials. And today's verses are Psalm 27, 5 and 6 from the English Standard Version. The Word of God says, "For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord." Today's verse falls under the 22nd point of our Counseling Reference Guide's resource section on affliction, discipline, chastisement, and trials, and that 22nd point is, in the time of trouble, you can experience God's protective care. And even through the tears, sing praises to God. Today's verses speak of the Lord's protection and how the realization of it should move us to worship him and sing praises to his name. When we realize the gift of our salvation and the ever-present hope that we experience with God's continual presence and provision for our lives, the natural response is to worship him and to rejoice. to think of on my journey of faith, I am humbled and joyful because of the victory I've experienced and because I remember that in those dark and lonely days of walking toward my freedom, the Lord was with me, and he will always be there for those who put their faith in Jesus and follow him. God was there in my days of trouble. He lifted me out of the muck and mire of my former life and lifted me above my enemies all around me. And so, like the psalmist, I will offer him the sacrifice of my love and obedience as much as I can, and will praise him with shouts of joy. And I will sing and make as much melody as I can muster to the Lord. God delivers us, so let's worship and sing his praises always and forever. As always, I invite all to go to mtforchrist.org, where I always share insights from prominent Christian theologians and counselors to assist my brothers and sisters in Christ with their walk. Today, we continue sharing from A.W. Pink's The Holy Spirit as we continue in chapter 20, the Spirit cleansing. And today's topic is our helper. And that's the Holy Spirit. He's our helper. But if you want to read what A.W. Pink has to say about that, go to mtforchrist.org, and you'll see that resource at the end of today's blog post. As always, we recommend a lifestyle of Christian discipleship that lasts 24/7. It's not just for church on Sundays. Why? Because it is the appropriate response to his deliverance of us, his salvation of us, that we should seek to follow him. And that's what we're called to do by the Lord and his word. So it just is awfully nice that it leads to things like peace, love, and joy in our lives when we do so. So we recommend following the Lord in earnest. And to help with that, we provide our teachings on the victory over the darkness, the bondage breaker, and freedom in Christ. Those teachings were all by Dr. Neil Anderson, and they're based on the word of God. They were transformative in my life, and so I taught them in my local church, recorded the sessions, and share them on the podcast and our YouTube channel to help other people know who they are in Christ and to get set free from any spiritual personal conflicts that keeps people from experiencing the freedom in Christ. We also recommend the Bible as the book to read, as it's filled with God's truth and instructions for our lives. We encourage Bible study to be done on a daily basis as a part of an overall spiritual practice of walking and talking with the Lord. And we support Bible study by offering our humble Bible study that we do once a week with our friends Arthur and Susanna Sincotti. Prayerfully, we'll be meeting again tomorrow to do another study. So if you need a Bible study to sit in on, you can sit in on ours. Bible study with the Sincottis. Well, it's Saturday, and I have to work. That just happens sometimes. And so I am short on time, and I am going to pray and get out of here. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for another day in your kingdom. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you've done for us. We'll never forget how you've delivered us and how you keep leading us into good things. And how you wake us up to the truth continually when we go astray. We're only human, and we're weak, and in our weakness and our ignorance, we'll do things that aren't good for us or that contradict what we really want to do. We choose the things we want more than the things we desire more than the things that are best for us. And we need your wisdom and presence to help us and your strength. And so we ask for that today. Lord, we also ask for you to bless anyone who's listening or reading along with today's message, that you come along them and their faith, their prayer requests and their walk of faith. So, Lord, we're praying that you'll go before us today, open our eyes to the things we need to see and or the things you want us to see, and lead our steps in the things we should do. Help us, give us the wisdom and presence of mind to know how to respond to the things that come up in our daily experience. Because, Lord, all we want to do is represent you and your kingdom and to keep walking with you and keep pointing people to the truth, the way and the life. Jesus as our Savior and God as our Father and the Holy Spirit as our helper to help us through this life until we see you in your eternal kingdom. We can't wait to see it. So, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we love you, and we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.